Good evening. In your silent time, in your quiet time with the Lord, you can also remember my daughter-in-law, Stacy Hamilton. There's a team going off to, I think it's El Salvador, this weekend on a mission trip. The church is used to be a Loma Baptist. They've changed the name, but when you pray, the Lord will know what group it is. Okay, let us turn to Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 34, we have the record of God meeting with Moses. In chapter 33, Moses spoke with God, and he said to him, he asked him to go along with them as he traveled with the children of Israel. And because of the relationship that Moses had with God, he reached that point where he said, "Lord, show me your glory." And that is in chapter 33 and verse 18. He said, "Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." In verse 19 he said, He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy." God told him that on the next day he is to come on up to the mount. And this is where we are in 34. And the Lord told him to bring the tablets of stone. And he said, "And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself to me on the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks or herds feed before the mount." And he hewed two tablets of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took him in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful." And gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And we'll stop there. Now, this is God proclaiming who He is. Here is a time when the first time that God met with Moses and he came down in glory, and the mountain shook and there was fire. The people feared God. And when they feared him, they said, You go and talk with him. And they pull away. You know, from that time, I can't remember any other time when God came down in that manner as he presented himself to mankind. God is a gracious God. Instead of coming down in that manner towards mankind, he sent his son. And when his son came, he came in a different form. We know of the relationship that the children of Israel had with God. We know of their backsliding. We know of their rebellion. And we know that they experience firsthand the mercy of God. And so it came to the time of Isaiah's day that in Isaiah chapter 42, after that alienation from God, God is going to say to his servant Isaiah to speak to them. And in 42 and verse 1, God spoke of his son. And he says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit on him, and he shall bring judgment to the Gentiles." In John chapter 1, we read of, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That is God coming in flesh. What we like to speak of as the incarnation. And the same thing happened all over again. Because the children of Israel, they rebelled and they knew not God. And in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, they did not know him. In verse 10 of chapter 1, it said, "He was in the world, and the Word was made by him, and the world knew him not." And that was the state of man. Now, one of the many things that, now we go back to Exodus chapter 34, and we think of the mercy of God. The mercy of God that was experienced by Israel throughout Israel's history, right up until the time when Isaiah spoke of the servant. They experience his mercy and his goodness. Now it is all well for God to say, "I will be merciful." It is also good when man experiences it and can speak of it. And in Psalm chapter 117 and verse 2, this is what it says: "For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever." And so we find man is able to testify concerning God and his mercy. Now the servant of God who comes along, our Lord Jesus Christ, he also practiced the mercy of God. He is the one that God said, here is my servant, the one who I'm sending. And as he came into this world, this is what he would say. I do always the things that please the Father. And one of the many things that he did was to practice the mercy of God. We read of the time in Matthew when there were those blind men. In Matthew chapter 9 and 27, when they said, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And indeed, the Lord Jesus turned around and exhibit his mercy towards them. Here is another attribute of God. He is gracious. God being gracious unto his people, that was an established fact. And when God sent Jonah to go to Nineveh and preached, Jonah, knowing that God was a gracious God, and he wanted God's judgment to be upon Nineveh, he turned and ran. Eventually, when God brought him back, this is what he said, I knew thou art a gracious God. And so we find that God is merciful and he is gracious, and those attributes, man experienced it. In 1 Peter and verse chapter 2 and verse 3, Peter in speaking of the Lord Jesus to the church, he said, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Everything that the Father professed to be, the Son, in his obedience, was the same thing. He practiced it. Abundant in goodness, that's also found in Exodus. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 35, for they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou hast gave them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. And so what Nehemiah is speaking of is the rebellion of the children of Israel. But God was abundant in his goodness. And so Nehemiah, knowing that, because if he has experienced God's goodness, he could speak of it. the Lord Jesus Christ, in his goodness and graciousness, he practiced it. Here is something that is said about the Lord Jesus. Jesus gave the riches of heaven, making himself poor to make sinful humans rich. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ practicing the goodness of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, we have experienced the goodness of God. We have been given the goodness of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was leaving earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. And now we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And the verse said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. We today can practice all that goodness because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. He has given us his Spirit. He has empowered us to practice goodness. In chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If you notice that verse, it mentions God and it mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father and the servant working hand in hand on our behalf. May we learn to practice the things, the attributes of God, the same things that the Lord Jesus Christ practiced. And he gave us his Holy Spirit that we might not live unto ourselves, but to practice these things day by day. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that when we were afar off, aliens and strangers, selfish people, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You sent him, you call him your servant. And truly, Lord, as we read your word, truly he was the servant of God. He served you in all ways. He could say, Father, I have glorified thee on earth. Help us, Lord, to serve you, that at the end of our days, we might be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Father, bless us now, Lord, and grant us unto us journeying mercies. We give your thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.